What a great morning. Thank you, everyone. I want to give a quick shout out before we launch into the message today. It's always just an honor for me. And my name, Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel here in Huntington Beach. I want to welcome again our live stream audience. You might have just jumped on, and man, what a beautiful, cool, brisk, but warm January day. I want to thank Abigail and Janaya or Jalen, who helped cook. Did I get that right? And Lance, I could go on down the Edgar, you name it. There's so many of you that help set up or cook, and I'm going to just probably miss somebody's name. But we want to kind of strike while the iron's hot. You know what that means? In other words, we're going on pure syrup and donuts. So you guess whether that is just the pancakes and bacon or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to let you do that. Well, what a thrill it is. And we want to make sure if you get a chance, we will be having communion toward the end of the message. And I want to just encourage you too. This is a charismatic, it's a Pentecostal church. And we rely upon hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. And sometimes you might be too busy or you haven't kind of grown into that experience and expression. But that's why the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14 are for the body life ministry. Those are for the gifts to be operational here in church settings like this. If you don't see it operating here in a church setting, would you go home and just practice or experience that by yourself? Probably not. So that's why it's so important we be able to enjoy that. So we'll just see what the Lord might say to us at the end of communion time together. Praise God. Well, I want to just naturally, you know, just before we announce what today's message is. And I trust that you have your bulletin card, so you can almost see it right there and then. But this coming year, we've launched into already a new theme. And that theme is Go the Extra Mile in 2023. So that is our theme for this year. So as you see that theme, well, we're going to be able to see it in just a moment. We're going to bring it up. It's interesting that we have in Matthew chapter 5, 41, we'll develop and build on this next Sunday. But you remember when Jesus says, if anybody compels you to go 1 mile, go what? Yeah, go two. So that's going to be our theme and seeing what God's going to do. I'm believing it's really spinning off of this last year's theme, which was kingdom, then you in 2022. And that was Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so many of you have some great testimonies of how you have set forward to tithe for the first time, or many of you have read your Bible through for the first time. These are big foundational steps you and I would have never done except for an experience with Jesus. So we thank God for that. But it's a joy for us. There's so many things. We'll talk more about the theme next Sunday. We'll start into our series on the theme. But today is all about the new year. And before I begin, I will give this. We have one joke of the year, and I'm going to share it now with you because this had the most likes, ringing of the bells, and signing up and subscribed. I don't get it, but I understand our culture in downtown Huntington Beach, because we're all former addicted to other things. Now we're addicted to Jesus. Anybody else out there like that? Praise God. So here was a guy, he went into a Texas bar, and he ordered 3 beers, and he opened all 3 of the beer bottles, went back into the back corner of the back room, and proceeded to take a sip out of each of the beers, and then proceeded to take a sip out of each of the beers. When he finished those 3 beers, he went back up to the bartender, ordered another 3, popped the tabs on all of those. The beer tender says, listen, sir, you know that if you just opened one at a time, it would be better because beer ends up going flat. He said, oh, well, listen, this is really on behalf of my other 2 brothers. I have 1 brother lives in Australia, 1 lives in Dublin, and I live here in Texas. And we promised each other when we left home, we would always do this drinking to remember the good old days. And the bartender, oh, that's great. Well, one day, becoming a constant patron of that bar, the man came in and ordered just 2 beers. And everybody in the bar went somber They knew there was a loss of life, maybe. So after the guy came up for a second round of two beers, bartender says, I want to give you my sincere condolences at the loss of your brother. He said, Oh no, we're all fine. Listen, this is what's happened. My wife and I joined the Baptist church, and I had to give up drinking, but it doesn't affect my two brothers. We're going for change here, real change. And today's message is reset your life and make 2023 a better year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you. You do have a wonderful, marvelous plan for each one of us in 2023. Lord, I pray for all of us. Open our eyes to see. Allow our ears to hear, not just right now, but Lord, as we move through this year, let it be just that, you and us, as we walk it out together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's worth noting here, because as we begin, I want to start with Psalm 85. Let's take a look here. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you have another translation, please follow along with us. It says, I listened carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, so our land will be filled with his glory. I'm believing that this is something that God will do for all of us. In other words, let's listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying to us, because he's speaking peace to his faithful people. He's going to speak peace to you. But the concern is, let us not return back to the old ways. Can you see that on that verse? Let's not go back. Let's press on. Let's risk and see something. How many remember the Etch-a-Sketch, that old classic toy? Huh? You might even received one this last holiday. Isn't it great? You mess up on Etch-a-Sketch, you just turn it over, shake it up, and you start new. I wish life was like that. It's like, what a mess, but let's just start it up again. Life's a little more complex than that, but I do believe that if you pay close attention, that you can make a few adjustments and make 2023 a much better year. I am confident that God does have a marvelous plan for your life. Regardless of what season of life you find yourself in, regardless of your age, there's no time like right now to seize what God has for you. And I am confident that the Lord God has made us with certain inclinations as well as gifts. I like as well what Psalm 139:16 has to say about you and me. Here's what the Word of God says. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Check it out. Every day. And let this resonate with you. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So every day, every moment, God says, I've got this for you. And all that's important for us, but I do believe there are some things we need to make sure we're in line to receive and to enjoy. These things will not just naturally happen. You must realize that God has something for you. And I've learned to set aside time each year of my life to say, Lord, how are we doing with my day and my moment that you have for me? So if nothing else comes through on this message today, that you would kind of regroup and say, I'm going to set aside some time and just say, Lord, what is it that you have for me? I am confident the beauty of being a pastor is that you get a chance to journey with people and say, man, don't miss what God has intended for you to do and to experience. Check this one out. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So here we go. I think it's going to require humility and trust in God. So just check your own barometer. Can you humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to go with you? And have you known enough about God where you say, he's trustworthy? He's trustworthy when things don't feel so together. So the ultimate life is the life that God prepared for us. That's your ultimate life. You can say, I'm going to line like everyone else, maybe on Wall Street, maybe like in Orange County. I want to be like everybody else. But the ultimate life will be the one God has displayed for you. Don't miss it. Man, it's so fun to live and to walk with God. So when we take a look, and I believe it's very easy to secure these things because Jesus himself guaranteed some things. You might take notes, and I've listed a number of boatloads of notes, so you can say, I'm going to keep that card and go through it. We're going to hit it now. But it is important, first of all, just remind you, write down John 10, verse 27. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, but they hear my voice. I'm confident if you haven't developed an ability to hear the voice of God, you can. Because Jesus says you can. And I believe him. He's also given us great tools, and one is the Holy Spirit, and that's in John 16:13. John 16:13. I'll write that one down too. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. I believe he's going to guide you into all truth. So we need to both hear him and follow him. God has a plan. We're talking about just one new change of the calendar year. But we're talking about resetting our life. And just like that Etch-a-Sketch where you mix it up a little bit and start over, it's going to require some of us to mix it up a little bit and start over because we have to set aside some time. I typically set aside at least 3 hours going into the new year. I find it's very helpful for me to get away from all forms of disruption. At least put your smartphone on airplane mode. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? And don't look at it. But it's important when we take a look at that because God always, I always give him the first hour of the new year. I did that this morning. It's so fun. It was enjoyable. Told Ainsley, we just drove in from landing from Billings, Montana, had a cheap flight in Las Vegas, and then drove home. Because we're cheap. No, we drove home. Made it home safe. Had a great time with family. But I said, honey, I'm going to get up at 12 midnight and pray for the first hour. And she so kindly, so lovingly said, Paul, don't set the alarm. If God wants you up, he'll get you up. Don't set that alarm. So smart of her, wasn't it? Yeah. So I reached over to my smartphone and turned off the alarm. God, you want me up? And sure enough, he did. Somebody shot off a mortar at 11:45. Kaboom! It was an M80 for sure. It must be God. And I spent my hour with the Lord. I'll share a little bit about that in a moment here. But I do remember realizing I need to get some bearing. And my example to you happened in 1989. Ainsley and I took our first church, and it was in Banning, California in 1986. I was 28, and things weren't going well. First 2 years were very hard, and I was giving it all I could, and so was Ainsley, trying to raise our family as well. Lord, what should we do? And I felt he gave us some specifics, so I was obedient all through that time, but it still was not improving. Now it's 1989, and things are not so good. I was depressed. I was not happy, working harder and getting more tired. You know, that's a recipe for disaster emotionally. And then all of a sudden, it's like August of 1989. All I can explain is like God gave me new eyes, and I started seeing things clearer. It didn't happen right at that date in January. It was in August. And stuff started happening. It was a great breakthrough. The church started happening. We knew about a man named Dick Mills. Dick Mills lived in Hemet. And he was retiring his years. Prophetic man. And I called him up, Mr. Mills, I'm pastoring in Banning. Oh, I know Banning. We used to have crusades there in the 40s. Could you come and speak? And he did in Wednesday service. And he spoke some great words, especially over me, that I'd be a man of wisdom and knowledge and be a man of the 90s. It was very helpful to hear things like that. And it literally was that, 1990, and the church increased physically, the church increased numerically. It was a great year, 1990 to really 2000. And then 2001, we got a call to go to Banning, from Banning, I should say, to Huntington Beach. Glory to God. That's just... So we continue to see some neat things that are happening here. And I have many, many stories I could describe. I want to highlight to you, you who have never sat down to say, Lord, I need direction. I need to hear things for my life. When he does, and he will speak to you, hold the course. Hold the course. Just because it doesn't change, don't stop applying yourself. The Galatians chapter 6, write it down, verse 7. Don't be deceived, Christian. Whatever man sows, that's he going to reap. Some of us could be still reaping from our former lifestyle. And it's like, why is this still being so painful? Well, you're just reaping what you sowed another time. So start the change by starting to apply some biblical principles, some right living. Hold the course, though. Hold the course. It's very important. And you sow or plant something today and you harvest it another season. That is wisdom. That's wisdom. So many of us want to come through the drive-thru real quickly and get it quicker. But let's believe for that. Let's take a look. Number one, the choice to change. Here we go. Just like that Etch-a-Sketch, these are going to be shakers. The choice to change. Letter A, reject the myth that your life will just get better. So many of you just are waiting that something's going to happen and be a change. Well, God's faithful because he knows we are not going to budge or do anything about it. But I sure like what Proverbs says in chapter 24, verse 3. It says, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. No house is just going to automatically construct itself. But a house is going to be put together basically through wisdom and good sense. And it really comes down to choices, by our choices, not luck. Not luck. If anybody's going to get the credit and say, man, God just sovereignly blessed, but it's important. So if you're thinking, well, I hope this will be a better year this year, or maybe this year is going to become something more than I really was hoping for. Be careful. You got to be involved there. I realize there are a host of things that are going to happen to us every year that's beyond our opportunity to control or by choice. Things like loss of job, poor health, maybe death of a loved one, possibility where you're finding that there's a difficulty in a coworker, or it's just things that's just going to just naturally jade your year. You don't have an opportunity, but there are things that we need to do. So don't become a fatalist. Just say, well, let's just hope life is better. That you will be a hopeless individual. Even though you're born again and going to heaven, who wants to be hopeless like that? Let's just see what happens. Oh, man. No way. There are things that you can do. Letter B, find God's direction for the new year. Find God's direction. Here's what I end up doing so often is I will go through this little list and I will just take a look at some things. Reserve, number one, reserve a few hours or even a day. For me, sometimes it turns into a full day when I head up to Oregon. It's like I'm totally unplugging to be able to hear from the Lord. Very important. Sometimes just getting out into the pine trees. It's just you start to see things. You know, I've heard the Lord's voice even when I'm taking a shower. I don't know what that is. Just something hit. Maybe I just needed smacking in the face or something. So it's just amazing how God will start to speak. But set aside, because if you don't, you need to stick to it. If you don't set aside that time, you'll change, and it will not happen. Number two, find the place, spot where you won't be distracted. Could be a park, Central Park, maybe a lake, maybe your bedroom, but nobody being home because they'll find you. Be careful about that. Number two, take your Bible, a journal, a pen or pencil. That's important. Write it down. When I feel a direction from the Lord, I write it down so I'm not all of a sudden having to keep thinking about that. I let it go because there could be some more things coming my way. Glory to God. Write it down. I think this. Watch how the Lord will build on it. And then, it's important, start by letting Jesus, here we go, four, start by letting Jesus know that he is your Lord. That's an important thing. I believe I'm talking to believers or those that are still considering where God lands in their life. But that's good. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're with us. So grateful for our guests who are here. So thankful for your family members bringing you today or friends. But let Jesus know that you still want him to be your Lord. And then there's really no formula how this starts. There really is no formula. Just make the time. But number five, begin asking God for direction regarding various roles you play. Here are mine. Here are my roles. Maybe there's some that reflect yours, but take a look. As God's child, how's my relationship with God doing? Lord, how are we doing? Is there anything you want me to do between you and me? Not just do for you. Again, then, how about me, physical or emotional? Is there something I need to do to maintain good health? Is there something that God would tell us? Because we just require a lot of sleep. We need a lot of rest. Some of us don't know what a vacation is. We definitely don't know what a Sabbath is. And we don't know what honoring a religious Sabbath looks like. Maybe God just... There's a beautiful thing in the Bible called... This Sabbath day, it's a day of rest and worship. It's like a mini vacation. I remember the Lord, you need a mini vacation. So we try to honor Mondays is really our Sabbath. So we take a look here. We go a little bit further. As a husband to my spouse, God's given me some keys how to make it a better experience for us. I think that's important. Is there anything I can do better? And it's amazing how you and I will hear the word from a prophet that our spouse says the same thing, but we disregard. Have you found that out? You sound like my wife. Well, that's because she's probably saying the same thing anyway. Going just a little bit further, then when you start dealing with that, how about as provider? Clear direction, maybe as a homemaker, maybe an organizer. Lord, how is it that I can do better around the house as a provider? How about as a father or grandfather? Lord, I have 3 adult children. I have 11 grandchildren. They are so unique. I really cannot compartmentalize, and I cannot project my own wannabes upon any of them. I've tried. Believe me, I try. It just doesn't work. But Lord, what is it that you have for them as well? And as a minister, then, the next one, or a pastor. Now, I remember when the Lord kind of showed me that there's a reverend, there's a pastor, there's a minister. Let me tell you the difference. Here it is. Because somebody, when I grow up, I want to be a pastor. Well, I think everybody should be a pastor, but you sure need to be called. But to have the title reverend is just that. That is a title. To have the title pastor, that's a position. That's a position. Not everybody... The reverend is a pastor. And then the word minister, that's a lifestyle. You just serve your little heart out for people. So if you're a pastor that doesn't serve, probably shouldn't be a pastor. But we are all called to serve. And so just wanted to highlight that, Lord. How do those 3 areas work? And then for my extended family members, my mother-in-law, Lord, how should I help my mother-in-law? My relatives, my sister whose husband passed away a few months. How do I address things like that? And how do I time it so that they will hear it? Those are important things. So you can see where I have some things to just ask and then listen and then write it down. And if I don't have anything, nothing comes in those categories, or maybe just a few, they do eventually come. That's what's beautiful about that. At least I asked. At least I asked. Ask and you will what? Yeah, at least ask. So I'm probably just addressing a few of us who haven't really even asked God. We just are thinking, well, we'll just go with the flow. Or we'll pay Pastor Paul to find out for us. No, you go ahead and ask. And then number six, title it God's Direction for 2023. I often put down Luke 6, verse 46 to 49. That's where Jesus says, let me tell you what a person's like who hears the word of the Lord but doesn't do anything about it. I want to remind myself, I want to hear God, and I don't want to be a forgetful hearer. I'm putting my life on shifting sand. God's direction for it. So I've got a whole nother year to mess up or to make up. It's just great. And so do you. Don't you love that? We get to reset our lives. It just makes me so excited. And I'm happy about that. So make sure Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, talks about choices are very big. Choices are very big. So the choice to change. I choose to change. Let's take a look at number two, the choice to risk. That's going to be important. Even small things will require risk. Now, because risking sounds so risky, many of us have never made changes necessary. We'll explain that, but look what Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Don't fear. Some of us haven't experienced the full benefits of your relationship with Almighty God because you haven't really stepped into the realm of risking like you and I know we should. And so therefore, we've never stepped out to make a risk. But risk is what real change feels like. Hello? Risk is what real change starts to happen. But no real change without risk. Everybody say that. No real change without risk. No real change without risk. Risk means become something and do something a little different. Letter A, fear is what keeps you from taking risks. Fear is very real. Scripture calls fear actually a spirit. And if you dwell with people who are afraid and talk about fearful things, be careful. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but people will put that fear on you. And you'll hear about it because you'll talk about the fear of change. Fear is what keeps us a prisoner to routines. Fear. Creepy stuff. And we expect something different to happen, but we won't change anything. Be careful about that. We fear the unknown. We fear of making a wrong choice. We fear of losing some control. We fear the joy of just a predictable life. Well, I just get up and I eat and I do that. It's comfortable for me. But you're not happy. So it's worth noting what God has for you. Some of you might say, well, I know my marriage is not working. I'm dying as a parent. I'm not feeling very good on the job. I'm a lonely person, but we fear so much, we're not going to change anything. And we literally would say, I'm afraid to change. But God's going to help us, is he not? Fear is what paralyzes us. And I'm going to pause here for a moment, and I want to just pray over us. I want to pray over us. Because a lot of times, that's the joy of even coming before God. Because faith requires that, to come before the Lord, that he exists. Faith is what pleases the Lord. But let me just take a moment. Father, you know that you've come to bring life through Jesus. And Holy Spirit, you are our guide. And you know who among us is dealing with real fear and real doubts. We come against where the enemy has put them in literal bondage to fear. We command that, get off in the name of Jesus. Fear go, and do not come again in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go. You're free. Seriously. The name of Jesus is that powerful. Well, what if I start to fear again? It just comes back. But you'll know when it comes back because you'll start to feel the effects of fear. But you command it in Jesus' name. Fear, go in Jesus' name. Just try it. And eventually it'll be gone because I realize the jig's up. The jig's up. So it's important. Letter B, risk is what life of faith looks like. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 6. And I like this because many times people will say, well, what if I do and it doesn't work? What if I attempt and it just falters? And I like the fact that God says he's all about you in this reference. It's Luke 12, 6. What is the price of 5 sparrows, 2 copper coins? Yet God does not forget a single one of them, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. See that there? It's amazing how the Lord deals with fear of people, fear of the unknown, fear of uncertainties. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. I trust the Lord. Remember, I started off saying, if we're going to reset 2023, you got to go at God with humility. I need you, Lord. And you got to go at him with trust. And the only way you know you can trust him is just having a relationship that journeys with him somewhere. Glory to God. He's so trustworthy. He gets so excited that you would even put any confidence in him. And he's here right now. He's here right now. And it's a beautiful thing to put our trust in him. So the change that you and I need to make this next year is going to require faith. It's going to require some faith. Fear, it's weakness, faith, and risks. Man, there's great power in that. It's incredible, and it's wonderful. There's many times I've had to say no to some good things in my life to say yes to greater things because it's limited in time. I can only do so much. I know this is a good thing. I like it. Nothing wrong with it, but I want the greater thing. I'm going to give my all to God because I want that great thing. It's that kind of area. So when we deal with this, it's going to be important. Number three, choice to grow. Choice to grow. There is no way to reset 2023 without a commitment to personal growth. There's no way. It's going to require some things that we're going to need to do. I like Jeremiah 29:11. It's a familiar passage to so much of many of us. But Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I like that. I'm going to take that. I believe for that. It's a wonderful thing to experience that kind of happening. So when we have those things starting to take place, I love that. Do you know, just to start to hear certain things, I just know I don't want to be a person in a rut. You might be in a rut. You might be in a rut. You may not know that, but a rut really, it's kind of defined as monotony. There's no zazz, no pizzazz. You don't really have any real desire, no passion anymore. You don't really feel like you have fun in the same things. You're kind of in a rut. But when God starts to speak to you, so that's why it's like, I know he's eternal. He has something new. Do you know my word, my verse this morning at 12:30? Well, I should say, really, 12:30 in the morning, God gave me Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 13. I heard that verse, chapter and verse, and I turned to it. And it was simply, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. That was my verse, like, what? You know, when you get a rhema word, you know exactly what God is speaking. And that word, for me, was life-giving. Because I'm hearing a bunch of fallout from the political realm and the distrust within certain governmental agencies and, oh, everybody's an evildoer. And we're doomed. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Sing to God. Praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. I'm not going to fear. You are the light and the hope of society. You. That's a good word. When I get words like that, you all get to come under that word as you follow your shepherd. Not to say that in a braggadocious way. But remember in 2020, where the Lord says, you will serve the Lord and he will bless your bread and your water. It's an amazing thing. And I will remove disease from the midst of you. Wasn't that a good word? I didn't even know COVID existed in January 2020. But I like the word serve the Lord because we endeavored to stay open even when we had to rent a big circus tent and put it in the parking lot. We will serve the Lord and he's going to bless our bread and our water and take sickness away from the midst. See how those words, and you might say, well, I don't get words like that. Well, then follow Paul and come under that umbrella. But listen for your own word. Listen for your own word. God has plenty of them, and they're great. Well, let's just break them down real quickly before we enter into beautiful communion. Letter A, develop a plan for personal growth. Is there an area where you just say, I just, as a person, I need to grow? Letter B, develop a plan for spiritual growth. So many of you read your Bibles through. We're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting. This starting on the 9th. It's going to be exciting. That would be a spiritual growth if you've never journeyed in that regard and what that looks like. Letter C, develop a plan for relational growth. You have some relationships that have not been going well. I always say the most mature person comes to the negotiating table first. It's the immature one that says, man, I don't want you anymore. Not you. You're the big and tall, strong Jesus person. And then letter D, develop a plan for professional growth. If you work, man, how can you improve yourself? And don't just say, well, I'll just go through the motion. I believe there's prosperity if you just work hard. Work hard in your profession. Let's take a look at Psalm 85, verse 8, once again. We'll wrap this message up and go into communion here in just a moment. Psalm 85, verse 8. I listened carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, so our land will be filled with his glory. I love that. I believe that. So we're taking a look at the choice to change, the choice to risk, and the choice to grow. Let's pursue the Lord. Amen. Hope that was a benefit to you, but it's your journey now with Jesus. Let me just pray a little bit right now. Father, thank you for allowing us to experience something wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to experience something beyond a Sunday message. Lord, where would we be without you? We want to experience you. We don't want anything else like lights or pageantry. We just want the simple corner, someplace on this globe that's with you. Lord, you're that pearl of great price. You say we are. We want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to cause our hearts to be on fire again for love, to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and yes, even putting our mind into it. So, Lord, cleanse us. Renew our heart. Prepare us right now for communion. And if there are those that are just in respect, bowing their heads and praying with me, with us online even, and saying, today I'm going to start fresh by giving my life to Jesus Christ as Savior. We pause to let you individually do that right now. Jesus, accept me as your son, as your daughter. Forgive me, O Lord, for my sins. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I sense the Lord, don't you? We're going to have communion right now, and Ainsley, would you hand me? Thank you, sweetie, thank you. We're going to have communion right now. And just like in August of 1989, where the Lord gave me a new set of eyes where I started to see Him operate, then you can have that experience right now too. Start to see things differently. It's wonderful. Let's trust Him. And if you may have given your life to Christ, or you are all Jesus followers, Christ followers, then my word for you is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone, that verse says, is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have now become new. So that's why things feel different to you, Christian. You don't laugh at the same jokes your friends laugh at. You don't engage in the same entertainment. And when you do, it doesn't feel the same. You're new. You're not the same person. You can try and say, now I feel like I'm a person without a country. I can't go back to my old bros. They're too raunchy. And I don't know how to journey further with Jesus. I'm just a babe. Stay close to Jesus. Let's take a wafer. We're going to lift that portion up first. You go ahead, please grab something that symbolizes the body of Christ to you. We here believe God came in human form on Christmas Day. We mark that occasion. Emmanuel's with us. Christ was born. He's the Savior of the world. And I've made Him my Savior. Would you as well? Anything that's broken physically, emotionally, bring healing, O Lord, now in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and participate. Praise God. I'm going to peel back the cellophane and the foil, expose the grape juice. We remember it was Jesus that instituted in the Passover meal. He became the Passover lamb. No need to have that animal sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the world. Now we look back in faith that that event applies today. Everybody else sacrificing a lammy in those days look forward to the Lamb of God coming. He's going to come one day. He's going to come one day. He's going to take away the sins of the world. Every day we got to lay out a lamb to have a promissory note to remove my sins till one day the Lamb of God on the cross pays for my sins. Promissory note. Paid in full. Now you and I have to remind ourselves He paid it. Just in case you get into a salvation by works, feeling like I'm not really qualified to live for God. I just have such a raunchy attitude. My imagination's so corrupt and perverted. Just give your life to Jesus and walk it out with Him. So we lift our cup up. Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus shed His blood for us. All sins are going to be removed today. All sins. Lord, we want to thank You. It's a new beginning. Fresh. And we really thank You for that. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me. My only hope is in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and participate. Wow. First communion of the year. Like the first time I had first communion as a child. It's that sweet. Well, I want to just invite you now. We're going to conclude in just a moment, but wouldn't it be great that we sing? I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet, please. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a
mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.